ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Ooh, what up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
He's Blank, I'm Branham, it's AJ behind the glass, and it's a Taco Tuesday edition of the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. But it's Mendocino Farms Day here inside of the studio. I haven't been able to eat just yet. I was meditating before the show. So I had to, you know, I got here a little bit late. But, yeah.
Salad was fantastic.
It tastes, I forgot the dressing. I'll go get some of that.
It's
kind of
like a, not a French or a Russian, reddish, right? But it's reddish. It was very, very good.
Yeah, it looks good. I like the, what is it called? Couscous?
Couscous.
Yeah. Couscous? Mm-hmm. There's couscous. No H in it. It's just couscous. So. Couscous is fantastic.
Yes.
It's kind of like Umble. The H is silent, right?
Correct.
City of Umble.
Yeah.
The murder capital of the world. How you doing today?
It's a tough day, Jeremy.
Did you?
I have
kept
the
cooking?
Update for you. I have the update. I was wondering if you were going to ask. I do have the update.
I did make a note of it to ask you.
I just want to let you know, and you're going to probably, you won't experience this as much with boys over girls, but the guilt factor that I received between last night getting home after the show and this morning when I departed for the SPCA was excruciating. Both kids cried and begged dad to keep the dogs or a dog. And then the wife, before work, professed her love for all of them and how sad she was going to be that they were all going. And then I put all three in the car and drove them to the SPCA. So I prevailed to some degree.
Wow.
While I took a whole lot of hits at the house because I had to put my foot down because we already have four dogs.
Pain is temporary. Pain is temporary.
I'm gonna tell you something. What's really not what's gonna be the most indelible thing that stays with me? You drop them off at these places, and you just want to know that the dogs aren't gonna be put down. They're gonna be good. People are gonna adopt them. And I was just like, hey, trying to make conversation, but hey, tell me that these dogs are really cute and they're puppies and they're gonna go quickly. Yeah, we can't tell you that. And then the dogs didn't even want to get out of the cage. Like they didn't. They weren't like loving like the initial reaction. And then they just take them in the back and go, here, sign this. And I go, what am I signing for? They go, oh, you can't come back and change your mind. And I'm like, why do you do that? And they said, because a lot of people, and this is where people are these days. People take their dogs in and put them up for adoption because they need medical attention.
Yeah.
Once they get the medical attention, they go back in and adopt the dog.
Hmm.
So, long story long, the dogs are hopefully going to be adopted too.
But Cookie's gone.
Cookie is gone.
No Cookie Daisy, in the Blank household. Man.
We're the last names, yes.
Wow. Well, that's good. That's good. I'm happy for you because I think you'll be happier to work. I think you'll be a better colleague, better co-host. You won't be as upset. You won't be as stressed. I think that's good for me. And I always look with decisions that you make and household decisions in the Blank household. I always root for what's in the best interest of me. Uh-huh. And I think this was in the best interest of me. Cougars win. Cougars win in Lubbock yesterday. 4,000 students who are wearing toughest team win t-shirt. And look, Texas Tech didn't have two of their top players. Good fight by the Red Raiders. Incredible crowd. I'm rooting for Texas Tech in the tournament. I have Big 12 bias. I've always been a Big 12 guy. For my entire life, I've been a Big 12 guy. So I root for the conference. I really do. I know the rivalry, the Houston fan base and the Texas Tech fan base is turning up a notch. It's turning up, which is fun for the league. It's fun. Like that, the rivalry and the hatred, like that stuff is fun. I'll be rooting for Texas Tech in the tournament, rooting for them to get their two guys back. But back-to-back Big 12 champions, first team since Idaho.
That's awesome.
When they joined what was later to become the Pac-12, to go into it, for a team to go into a major conference and win their first 2 years in the league. Unbelievable what Kelvin Sampson's done with Houston.
Not just any league, by the way. The best basketball league over the last several years in the country. And the fact that they've been able to do what they've been able to do that I wasn't even sure that they could do. Coming into this conference with how much talent, especially even last year, all the different teams in that conference that were stacked. And they just keep on racking up wins, and they're just – and I keep saying, if you're not watching this team on a nightly basis when they're playing, you're missing something, because they're representing your city in a way that you should be proud, because the defense, the toughness, when it gets down to a one-possession game and they got to grind it out, and even the coaching's – the respect that the other coaches that they're beating have afterwards for these for this team. A lot of times when there's a rivalry or you know you're playing a team of this stature, especially when you see how Hurley acts and some of these other big-time coaches, there's not a whole lot of love lost if you lose to a team like that. But to hear from the other coaches and have them profess their respect and the kudos to Kelvin Sampson and his program for the way they get it done, the style that they play, and the fact that over this period of time, how impressive it's been, I think that a lot of people sleep on that factor alone, that you're getting from your colleagues the utmost respect and the compliments because of the way you take care of your business. That's phenomenal to me.
Yeah, I watched the McCaslin press conference, which the Texas Tech, you know, you have a great head coach. Graham McCaslin is fantastic.
He really is.
As well. Big 12 has a bunch of really good coaches. I like McCaslin a lot. He's really good. Only the second year there, and he has him as a top 10 team in the country. That roster is really good. It wouldn't shock me if they make a deep run in the NCAA tournament if they get healthy. And they're supposed to. I was talking to the Tech radio guy. Jeff Haxton, Hacks I call him, and he's like, yeah, we're expecting them back in a couple of weeks. So Darian Williams might even play like Saturday, Chance McMillan in a couple of weeks. So I hope that they get healthy because those are two big pieces for Texas Tech, and they probably need them like everybody does. I mean, if you're out two starters in the NCAA tournament, it's going to be hard for you to make a run. Cougars tried to a few years ago. They got to the Elite Eight, remember, when they didn't have Sasser, they didn't have Tremont Mark. Last year they didn't have Arsenault, they didn't have they didn't have JoJo Tugler. Then they lost Shedd in the Sweet 16 game against Duke. So, yeah, you need to be healthy. Health is important at the right time of year. So I am rooting for Texas Tech to get healthy. But McCaslin talking about how Houston's this great bar, right? Like, we go – whenever we play Houston, that is the perfect bar for us. If you beat them, then it's one of the best wins that you can have in the country because they're number three in the net ranking. If you lose to them, then it shows you, like, what it takes to be at that level, what it takes to be that good. McCaslin had a quote afterwards where he was talking about how – he looked at his team after the game when they were doing their little, like, you know, alma mater or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he like said, like, that's what it takes. And he looked at them because he wanted to see the reaction of, like, we want to face them again, or if they, like, kind of look defeated. And he said that all of their reactions was like, we want them again. So it would be interesting if they play in the Big 12 tournament. That would be a lot of fun because Tech, of course, won in Houston. Houston beat a shorthanded Texas Tech in Lubbock. If they were to play it again, it'd be intense, which both games have been intense. Last night was a great atmosphere, too. So much fun.
It just seemed like, you know, and Fraschilla was saying, and they've all been so complimentary of the Fertitta Center, but they were saying that that environment was right there with the Fertitta Center as one of the best environments they've seen all year because of how loud and raucous that crowd was. And that's what you want. I mean, as a top team, that's what you're expecting to face when you're on the road. And I think it should motivate a team like Houston, which it seemingly does. And you know what? The good thing about it is that you look at the way they won and you realize there's still room for them to improve. They didn't play a great game, a perfect game by any stretch. But, you know, everybody stepped up when they needed to make the plays necessary. And I think the depth they have in the front court defensively is such a huge bonus for them when they're guarding and they get into the tournament with some big front lines. But they have three different guys that can beat you on any different possession. And that's big when you're going to try to make a long run in the tournament.
I'm biased, but I would say four. I think that they have four guys on the offensive end that can get you. Like, they have the culture stuff.
Right.
They're going to rebound. All the Tech out rebounded me yesterday. Tech had tons of offensive rebounds. But they're going to have the offensive rebound. They're going to have elite defense. They're going to take care of the basketball. But then you look at the offensive end. Milos Juzan went off yesterday.
Yep.
22 points, a career high. But that's not surprising. Like, he's had 19 points here. I think he's had 19 points twice this year over the last 2-3 weeks. Had a huge game at Arizona. So, like, you have to pick your poison with this Cougar offense. You want to take away Juwan Roberts in the post, who can get you 20. Like, Juwan Roberts had 16 yesterday. He didn't have a good day from the floor. He was 3-for-10 yesterday. He'd be the first one to tell you that. It's 16 points.
Yep.
I mean, he was great from the free throw line, 10-for-12. But if you decide to take that away, okay, well, now you look at the Cougar backcourt where your point guard all of a sudden is capable of getting 20 and is a really good shooter. Like, he's kind of an underrated shooter.
His floaters are really good.
Yeah, he's got that length.
Yeah.
Like, he's got good length. He's long, so he can get into the paint and he can finish. He's really good finishing at the rim, too. I mean, he had, like, what, 2 or 3 finishes at the bucket where he got to the free throw line, too, like, and one opportunities. But L.J. Cryer can score you 20. We've seen that time and time again. He didn't shoot well.
Mm-mm.
He was 1-for-5, 1-for-4 from the floor, had 5 points, yet you went on the road. Emmanuel Sharpe's capable of getting you 20. So I think that you look at their offense, and I think JoJo Tugler's coming offensively.
That dunk
he had 8 points yesterday.
To show his wingspan?
Yeah.
It was ridiculous.
He's He's one of the best. Yeah, he's one of. He's the most draft buzz guy on this team.
What's his wingspan? Like 7'6"?
Yeah, it's pretty. Something
it's
like
ridiculous.
That. He's being projected as like a second rounder. Whereas, I mean, Juwan Roberts, love him to death. Probably not an NBA guy.
Right.
LJ Cryer, probably not an NBA guy. Sharp, probably not an NBA guy. Uzan, maybe. I'd be surprised if it were this year. But JoJo Tugler is getting draft love because of his length. I mean, he's 6'7", but can jump through the roof. He's got 7'5" wingspan. But his offensive game is coming, too. Like, I mean, he got in the paint a couple of times yesterday. He got that little right-handed hook to go. If he's capable of doing that, now you have five capable starters in your starting lineup.
I wasn't expecting him on the offensive side of the ball to have any kind of moves, but he looks like he's better than serviceable. But when you see, even the guys coming off the bench, are the way they move without the basketball, their cuts to the basket, their flashes that, you know, when defenses are keying on the guys you mentioned, that they get those little easy bunnies that, you know, otherwise you might not expect a team to get. I just think their depth is big, their ability to score in the front court and in the back court, as you mentioned, and nothing tops the fact that this team can play in any gym in America, no matter how hostile an environment, if they play defense like that. Because that defense is going to travel and it's going to be a problem whether you are on your home court or not.
Yeah, they can win games whenever they don't have good offensive nights. And people will criticize them, you know, for their offense, and they're not going to lead the country in points per game because their tempo. It's not really their tempo; it's more the other team's tempo because of their defense. Like, you get a Houston Cougar defense, what's the offense going to do? You have to. It's going to be tough. You're going to get shots late in the shot clock. But when you look at the KenPom offensive efficiency, they're number 7 in the country in offensive efficiency. Like, I think that, and again, I'm biased. I'm wearing a U of H shirt today.
I think their offense is very underrated. I don't think they see that and realize that because you're right, because their defense transitions into so much of their offense. But as their coach said after the game, too, in that press conference, the fact that they punish you even on the offensive end. Like, they create contact. They finish through contact. They're strong around the basket. You know, they'll take you at the Tugler dunk. He had a guy draped all over him, yanking his opposite arm, and he still found a way to throw it through the rim with authority. Like, and the fact that your big man can beat you with a multitude of offensive moves, and the backcourt can kill you either from three or through penetration. Tell me where they're weak, and because they're deep too. I mean, yes, you can say, well, they need to polish some things up here and there, but every team in the country still does. But yet they have depth, they have talent inside and outside, and they have a complete package in terms of guys that can step up at any time.
Yeah, it's a good team. It's a really good team.
It's a great coach, too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm biased, but I think he's the best in the country.
I think for people that have slept on Kelvin Sampson at all, even in the past when they forget about how good he was at two different big stops and always just want to say, oh, well, what happened at Indiana? Don't even worry about that. That was for phone calls that now would not even bat an eye at. His ability to recruit, coach, and then coach his way even today and be tough on these kids and call them out when they make mistakes, and yet they don't curl up into a ball and go hide in a corner. They get ready to do it better the next time on the court and the next time they have a chance. And it's just a special, special thing to watch, and Houston should be really proud of them right now.
Yeah, the players know what they're getting into. I mean, they sign up for it. You know, Kelvin is not bashful. He doesn't hide what they're doing. I went to a shoot around where they had a recruit, and coach is like he always does. I mean, he's brutally honest. I mean, he's brutally honest. That Indiana team that he had that second year, I think that team was national championship good. I mean, you had Eric Gordon on that team. You had DJ White on that team. You had Jordan Crawford on that team. Like, that team was really, really good. I'm not going to sit here and say they would have won a national title, but I think they were capable of doing it if things didn't hit the fan there.
Eric Gordon was really good in college.
So good.
Yeah. And he had Blake Griffin at Oklahoma, right?
Yeah, he did. Well, no.
I think he had at least 1 or 2 years of Blake.
I don't remember the timeline there.
I think he had the Griffin brothers. Remember, Blake's brother played on that team, too.
I think he was older, though, right?
Yeah, but I think he had Blake Griffin as well. But look, I mean, I just think that Calvin's he's a certified Hall of Famer in my book. And I think he's the best coach in the country right now. And I still don't think he's getting enough credit. But I think at the end of the day, when you look at his body of work, his resume, especially if he can get one national championship, but even if he doesn't, I think that he should be a slam dunk into the Hall of Fame at some point.
I'm trying to see if he did have. I don't think he did. No, he left. He left. Blake Griffin was 07 through 09 at Oklahoma.
And when was Kelvin?
Kelvin left in 06. Okay. So he just missed him. But I think he had his older brother.
He might have recruited him? Or?
Probably.
Yeah.
And I know he had his older brother. Okay. He had his older brother. He probably did recruit him.
There you go. Yeah.
713-780-ESPN, HRNP, listener line. Brandon T, love what I'm seeing from this Cougars team. Samson's teams are always tough, but this might be the best offensive team he has had. Can't wait for March Madness. That Quentin Grimes, Marcus Sasser team was pretty good, too. Cougs, without a doubt, the closest team in Houston to win a championship. That's interesting. That I hadn't thought about that.
That's very interesting. Yeah. I think they might be the closest to it.
One game at a time. One game at a time. That's how I think. Texter says Eric Gordon is the best high school basketball player of all time. He must have done some numbers.
I'm sure. And he's from Indiana, right?
I think so.
Yeah. So if he was Mr. Basketball in Indiana, that's saying something. But I'd have to see the numbers because there's been some pretty good high school players.
Yeah. It's a fun ride. It's a fun ride. Lock up a share of the Big 12 title. Potential, you know, chance on Saturday at home against Cincinnati. Outright Big 12 championship, cut down the nets maybe on Saturday. Could be a lot of fun. All right, 713-780-ESPN, busy show. We're on the YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitter at ESPN975, Blankers at Pac-Man Joel. I'm at Jeremy Branham. DeMeco Ryans is talking from the Combine. I think Lance Zierlein is flexing that he is there. We'll get into that a little bit later. Kelly Eco will join us at 445, talk about the Houston Rockets, who get set for a back-to-back tonight. Milwaukee's in town. They play San Antonio at home tomorrow? Or are they on the road?
I believe they're on the road tomorrow, home for the Bucks tonight.
Yeah, I knew they were home for the Bucks. I didn't know if that San Antonio game was here or there. So first leg of a back-to-back, another back-to-back. Plenty to get to, 713-780-ESPN. But we come back. Is the Astros dynasty over? Someone on the cron opined that it is. Do you think it is? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 in HD, 97.9 HD2. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Cam Smith's having a big day out in West Palm Beach, if you're into that sort of thing. Which, I temper expectations in spring training. Like, you're facing the four Shea Whitcombs of the world. Well, he's more of a, he's a hitter. He's not a pitcher. But you get the point. Like, pitchers are working on things. You see a lot of guys who are never going to pitch in the big leagues. So you have to kind of provide context. And I've seen the highlights here. Cam Smith has a two-homer game today. I don't know who he homered off of. Like, I don't know if he's homered off a couple of minor leaguers. I don't know if he's homered off a couple of pro guys. But pretty cool to see Cam Smith hit a couple home runs. I'd rather him hit two home runs than strike out twice. I will say that. I
totally agree. Like, you know what? Yes, I think there's a lot of people that looking for clicks and story ideas overreact to spring training. But when you have a kid that's been labeled by multiple people an aircraft carrier and a guy that could carry your team in the future, and he's hitting multiple bombs in a spring training game, it makes you raise an eyebrow and go, okay, well, maybe the future is closer to now than down the road if he continues to do this. And maybe you don't see him to start the season, but maybe there's a chance you see him by the All-Star break.
Todd says, rumor has it Cam Smith is going to be good. People might not trust Dana Brown's contract negotiations, but I trust his eye for ball players. Looks even bigger than 6'3", future Hall of Famer 100%. Cam Smith's going to break Barry Bonds' home run record for sure. I mean, I tweeted about it. I got a farm engagement somehow. I said, straight to the bigs, don't at me. That's very, very unlikely. But we'll see. I mean, it's fun to have this level of prospect in the system to see how it's all going to pan out.
The biggest thing is it's better than the opposite. Better that he's not just flailing and missing and getting rung up over and over again. If he's hitting tanks and he's having multiple home run games, hey, it's something worth keeping an eye on to have some excitement about you know, the possibility of him being a major leaguer sooner than we thought.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun. Maybe he'll turn out to be very good. We'll see. So, Cron.com, which, don't confuse that with HoustonChronicle.com. Houston Chronicle and Cron.com are very, very different.
So weird.
They're run by the same people. They're owned by the same people, but they're very, very different. Maybe it's kind of like Nike and Jumpman.
Or Nike and Converse.
Nike owns Converse?
People didn't know that. That's right.
Yeah, I had no idea. But Cron's like their digital thing, and they're not subscription-based, whereas Houston Chronicle does have a digital element, obviously, but they are subscription-based.
So Cron is their sports map.
Kind of. What would our Houston Chronicle be?
Us?
Yeah, I don't know if we're not, like, subscription-based.
Well, no.
We're not a subscription. But anyways.
Some people think we should be.
Lost in the minutia there. They're different. I mean, they have different writers, too. So that's part of the thing, too. Gwen Howerton, who I've never heard of before. She does write for Cron, but I don't think she does many sports pieces. She, like, sometimes does. She's labeled as an audience producer, which I'm going to start calling myself that. I'm a producer of audience. It's what I do.
So you're not farming engagement anymore.
Kind of the same, right?
I was going to say, that's the same thing by a different name.
It's like a more professional engagement farmer. Yeah. An audience producer.
Instead of a janitor, you're a custodian.
That's the first time I've ever seen that.
Or the custodial arts.
Custodial arts.
Yes.
That's the first time I've ever seen the title audience producer.
That's big on a resume. It looks a lot better.
You don't farm engagement. You're not an influencer. You're an audience producer. I love that.
Skip
that's great.
The overalls and the John Deere tractor for the farming. You're going right into producing.
I love that name. That's really good. But anyways, Gwen opines in an essay on cron.com, TLDR, but she says the Astros dynasty is probably over and that is okay. So we ask you the question, 713-780-ESPN, HRNP listener line, and Blankers will get your opinion and our opinion on this on the other side. Do you agree with Gwen? Is the Astros dynasty probably over? 713-780-3776. Let's discuss next. It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Before we go to the break, word from my good friend Doc Linville. Doc Linville is the best in the business at getting your hair back. That's right. It's your own hair. And it's going to be put where you need it most. And they are phenomenal, and they're all right here. Everything is done right in the Houston Med Center area. And Doc Linville is the best. And I'm here to tell you from personal experience. I had the NeoGraft. I've had PRP treatments. The platelet-rich plasma helps to spur on growth of the hair that you still have on your head, as well as to kind of fertilize the hair that you've just moved. And then the fact that you have the procedure in place with the NeoGraft, it takes hair from an area of your head that you never are going to lose it, no matter how long you're on this planet. Studies have shown genetically you never lose the hair on the sides and the back of your head, no matter how bald you go on top or in the back. Therefore, Doc Linville takes some of that and puts it where you need it most. Maybe it's your hairline in front like me. Maybe it's that baboon's butt that always shows up on the back and the top of your head that you want to cover up. And you don't think there's any solution. You don't want the sprays and the creams and the foam on late night TV that just mask the problem. You want a solution. You want to get it done the right way. You go to Doc Linville. Because you're listening to me and you want to talk to him, all you got to do is go to 975hair.com and you can get a free consultation with Doc and his staff like I had. People off the street pay $150. You listen to us and want to talk to him, absolutely free if you go to 975hair.com and set up a consultation. It's free of charge, no signing on the dotted line, no commitments to be made. There's no catches. All you got to do is show up and get all the information. They're going to tell you about the PRP treatments, the NeoGraft, and they're going to answer all your questions. And then they leave it in your hands to decide if it's something you might want to do. If you do, they are the best. Like I said, they're going to take care of you every step of the way. Doc says he's not trying to make a ton of money on this and make a killing. He wants people to know he can make a difference and get your hair back. Just check it out. You got nothing to lose, and you got a whole lot of hair to gain. 975hair.com.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Gwen Howerton, audience producer at Cron.com. Gwen and I, two peas in a pod. She opines that the Astros dynasty is probably over, and that's okay. Not a strong take, huh? Kind of riding the fence there a little bit?
Kinda, yeah.
Kinda. Rhino on Twitch says that, so she's a troll. You can make the case that audience producer, like engagement farmer, is synonymous with troll. You absolutely can make that case.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
No doubt.
I just don't understand how, you know, it's like we talk about all the time. I mean, are you really watching this team? I mean, with a passing judgment like that, and you look at them and you say, if that infield, even if it just stays as it is right now, is currently constructed, that infield is one of the better infields in all of baseball. And their pitching staff, both on the relief side with the two guys they have at the back end, and then with the starting pitching that they have with the four guys they have at the front end, they can compete with just about any team in a series in baseball. Now, the outfield, we've said, is a question mark, but with Altuve at least providing from a bat standpoint, defensively, we know that Jake is a better than average defender, but we've got, you know, I've been clamoring for one more bat, but I think a lot of people, and you see some of the experts said if they would have pulled off a move for Arenado, they felt like that team could compete for a World Series. I wasn't sold on that, but I'm here to tell you that I like the fact that a lot of people see what we kind of see, which is a team that's pretty much loaded with the exception of, you know, the fingers that you can point at the outfielders.
So you don't think that the dynasty is over?
I don't. I think that they have a lot of talent. I think you've got Yordan on a sweetheart of a deal locked up for a long period of time. Yiner's going to be here for a long period of time under team control. You've got some good young players, and regardless if Cam Smith does it this year or not, I think he's close. I think Bryce Matthews might be close. But I think that you have the ability to still be flexible, to add guys, and depending on what you do with Fromber and other things, Fromber could be an ace for years, or he could be gone, and you could repurpose that or try to find a different way to add to this team. But I don't think the window's closed.
Yeah, I'm a raging homer, so I don't think that – I mean, dynasty and window, I think, are a little different. Like, window means you're kind of capable. Astros dynasty probably means that you need to win another pretty soon. But I do think that they're capable of doing that. Rocky says Astros are done, like done. They're cooked. This looks like an egg in a skillet. Rocky put it the. I didn't know that was an emoji. You can have an emoji of an egg in a skillet.
Never seen it before.
That's next level there, Rocky. Well done. Junior Bronco says surprisingly she's an Aggie. That's not nice, Junior Bronco. Just because, you know, you're making fun of her, that doesn't mean that you need to, you know, say she's an Aggie as a way to bring her down. We don't approve of that. Junior Bronco says he actually pulled her bio. Gwen Howerton is an audience producer at Cron, where she has handled everything social media from running Cron's Reddit account to making videos since 2023. She occasionally pitches in by writing and taking photos for the site, a native Texan and graduate of A&M. She previously ran public relations and hosted a radio show on politics at A&M student radio station. When not working, she enjoys biking, watching baseball, listening to new metal, and playing Halo 3. So there you go. Gwen Howerton, very well-versed. I don't know why we're making fun of Gwen. This is a lot of people have this opinion.
I think it's just a title that caught your nerve, that struck an opportunity for people to dig a little deeper.
It is interesting because, like, when you click it, which, I mean, cron.com is all clickbait, right? Like, that's how they make money. It says the Astros dynasty is probably over, and that's okay. And then whenever you look at the headline that they had on their webpage, it's a little bit different. It talks a little bit more, like, in conclusions than that. But, I mean, I think it's a fair question, because I think it's 50-50. Like, I really do. I think that there's a lot of people that are listening to us right now, probably half the people, if it's 50-50, that would tell you that the Astros dynasty is over.
I think that a lot of people, because of the fact that the names that kind of were synonymous with this golden era of Astros baseball are now gone, with the exception of Altuve, and if you believe McCullers is coming back. And I think that that has led people to believe that it's over. And a lot of people think that without them, even if it keeps going, it's hard for them to make that connection. But the simple fact of it is, I don't know that they even have to win another World Series. The fact is that they keep winning. If they win another division, if they go deep into the playoffs yet again, if they make another league championship series for sure, then you're just taking that body of work over the last 9-10 years and going, they just consistently win. And that means it's not close.
What is new metal? Do you know?
I know that there was some discussions going on about it. I really have no idea.
AJ's way cooler than we are. Do you know what new metal is, AJ? AJ looks like he might dabble in
new
AJ,
metal. Not N-E-W.
I have no idea. I haven't heard that before.
Let's see if we can pull up some new metal, like top new metal song.
Okay.
And see if we can do that so we can get an idea of what new metal is. I Googled it.
Aluminum?
What?
That's not a new metal. That's more of an older metal. I'm just saying. Titanium? No? All right. I'm gonna Google this while you go ahead.
I was just gonna see how far you were willing to try to climb out of that hole.
I don't have to climb out of it.
I think it's a hole.
I'm proud of it. Like,
I wouldn't put the blanker's name associated with that joke.
Oh, there you go.
No, yeah, you got it.
Yeah, nu metal is a subgenre of metal music that combines heavy metal with other genres like hip hop, funk, and grunge. It's known for its intense and angry lyrics, off pitch guitars, and heavily amplified beats.
What's the point of having an off-pitch guitar?
I don't know.
Like, is it like are we rebelling against the music industry by being off-pitch?
Is that a different level of whine? I think when a whiny guitar goes.
I think it's symbolic. I think it's symbolic. Like, we're new metal. We're not gonna, you know, abide by the establishment. We're anti-establishment, so we can do whatever the heck we want with chords. Okay, I think that's what it is.
So now I googled new metal bands: Korn, Limp Bizkit,
really?
Slipknot, Linkin Park, Deftones.
Huh. Okay, so we know new metal.
Papa Roach, Incubus. Yeah, we know some of them.
We know new metal. Yeah. So there's nothing new about new metal. It sounds like new metal's been around forever.
Yeah.
I thought it was new.
Well, I guess it's a genre that's been around.
Oh, we've heard that, AJ. Did you pull anything up? Or
I pulled the same thing up, and I just saw.
Yeah, we're good. I mean, if I didn't realize it was that popular.
You don't want to hear some either. Fred Durst from 1994? Some Limp Bizkit?
I'm not crazy about how they got the name.
Okay.
No, I don't.
Papa Roach has a song out right now.
Do they really?
They have a current song that I think is in the top five on the chart right now.
Yeah, I used to listen to some of them. I mean, I've listened to a bunch of those bands. I didn't realize it was that popular. All right, 713-780-ESPN. The Astros dynasty, is it over? Cam Smith making a statement today. Yeah, we've heard he hit two home runs. First Cam homer was off a big leaguer, multiple years of experience. There we go. Astros are back, baby. The dynasty is not closed. Thank goodness Walker was signed, because Singleton has already ticked me off just 3 to 4 games into spring ball. What happened?
What the hell did he do?
Give us the context. We're not watching the game here, Texter. We're doing radio. New radio. Yes, it's over now. We rebel against the machine. Yes, it's over now. It's rebuild and working towards the next best lineup to play ball. We love baseball, so we'll watch the Astros no matter the roster. So there you go. A Texter agrees with Gwynn that the Astros dynasty is probably over.
Don't we rage against the machine?
Zach says not blank, saying actual metals. New metal came around during the 90s. Bands like Korn and Limp Bizkit, which you just told us. Ask Grok. I don't like Grok as much. I use Google AI. Linkin Park, new metal. I'm a homer, but can you really call two titles, one tainted championship and one legit, a dynasty? That is a relative term. I'm probably a little bit more loose with the definition of dynasty than a lot of people are. But yeah, I think what the Astros did, their golden era, was a dynastic run.
That body of work in that time frame, with two World Series championships and 8 straight league championship series appearances, and 4 World Series appearances with 2 titles, I think that also matters. I think that I thought they needed a second championship to validate and also kind of take a half step away from the 17 tainted championship in a lot of people's minds. But I think that when you look at not just the World Series titles, but what I just said, I think it's a dynasty.
Yeah, I do too. A lot of people would disagree with this, and I understand that. And I do think that the dynasty definition is relative. Like, I think it's different
for
every person.
Bitterness? A lot of people are still bitter about the first one.
This mic is Limp not Bizkit. Dynastic. Limp mic. Yeah. No, I think that a lot of Astro fans also have that opinion. That you need at least 3 titles to be considered a dynasty.
I just think you get to 4 World Series, and you know, Game 7, you lost. Well, one of them, you lost it in Game 7. So I think 2 titles, 4 World Series appearances in that window of time. That to me is pretty damn impressive.
I agree. How is it a dynasty when you have teams winning on the same level at the same time? Who's won at the same level of the Astros since 2017? Nobody.
No.
Nobody.
The Dodgers haven't, for sure. They got the one bubble.
Dodgers would be the other one.
And then they got the second one this last year.
Those have to be the only 2 teams with 2 titles since 17.
I think so.
Yeah.
Because the Yankees haven't sniffed it. They finally got to a World Series last year.
The Yankees haven't won a clean World Series since Reggie Jackson in 1978. Because even their titles in this millennium were all tainted by steroid users.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Every single one of them. Not just one. Every single Yankee title since 1978 had a player or multiple players that were using PEDs at the time of a title. That's more tainted than the Astros, you know, stealing a couple of signs and banking a few trash cans. Wow. Everybody was doing that. You had teams using the Theragun gun on the metal bench.
Center field cameras, Apple watches.
And you had Tommy La Russa, Tony La Russa? Tony La Russa was cheating with the White Sox in the 80s.
With a Gatorade sign in center field.
Yeah. Cheating. Everybody says that, you know, baseball is America's pastime. No. Cheating is America's pastime. We all know that. If the Braves of the 90s are a dynasty, so are the Astros. Fake Tony Stark. Agreed. Texter, Astros dynasty continues if Hunter Brown takes over for Fromber as the ace. Do you think that's possible?
I do.
I do, too. Now, I do have question marks about the rest of the rotation going forward. Not this year, but like, let's assume they lose Fromber, which I think is the betting favorite, that they don't re-sign Fromber. The rotation after this year has some holes in it. Like Hunter Brown, even if he takes over for Fromber as the ace, now you need Eric Geddy to be your number two. You might need Javier to bounce back. You might need Luis Garcia to bounce back. There's a lot of ifs after Hunter Brown going forward.
If you could go back to pre-surgery Javier and Garcia, and you pair that with Hunter Brown, and then you say you could even throw Blanco, who you didn't mention, in the mix as a guy that maybe for a year or two is capable of being like a really strong, you know, 4-5 along with Eric Geddy. Now you're looking at a rotation that maybe could come as close as anybody to maybe not skipping a beat if you lose Fromber. But if those guys are all iffy and question marks and we don't know when they're going to be back, then it's hard to say that.
Astros are also really good at developing pitchers. So, like, we have to account for that. Like, can a Gusto turn into a middle-of-the-rotation starter? Can a Blue Ball turn into a bottom-of-the-rotation starter? Like, the Astros always find guys. Like, Luis Garcia, what was his story? He didn't pitch above A-ball whenever he got called up COVID year.
Yep.
Like, they find guys. Like, they're really good at that, and they still have the pieces in place. Like, Murphy's been here forever. Miller's been here forever. So, you know, you're kind of banking on that to happen. Eric, are the Astros 1-2 hits on prospects to keep the window open? A lot of the guys who made the dynasty weren't major prospects, in my opinion. That's true. Like, Jeremy Pena was not a major prospect. Jordan Alvarez was not a major prospect. He got traded. You're probably right, Eric, because you do have a pretty good young foundation. Jordan's here for a while. Yiner's here for a while. Pena's here for 3 more years. Some would be like, well, Pena's not all that great. But if Cam Smith turns out to be, you know, a good player, if one of Jacob Melton or Bryce Matthews turns out to be a good player, you have a pretty good foundation. So that's probably a fair point, 1-2 hits away.
Yeah, and I think that, like you said, there's guys sitting there in the waiting that could potentially be those guys that you already are developing into us seeing them very, very soon and being impactful. So I don't think that's a far-fetched thing to say, and I don't think it's far-fetched to say that they can do that.
Is the Astros dynasty over? And we're now having an argument about what is a dynasty. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Live in the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees. Now back to Joel and Jeremy.
Plank and Branham, 713-780-ESPN. The Astros dynasty over. Is it even a dynasty? 713-780-3776. Spots are filling fast. Very few remain. Almost sold out of this bad boy. The ESPN 97.5, 92.5 occasional invitational. Blankers will be there. I will not. So don't worry.
Miss?
Yeah, I'm gonna be. I'm gonna be on the air, but I have to do a remote that day. So you don't have to worry about seeing me. I know a lot of you don't want to play in the occasional invitational because I have to deal with Branham. Well, you don't have to worry about that because I'm not going to be there. Take the day off work, play a fun round of golf with your favorite sports station. The occasional invitational benefits Kids Mills, fantastic cause. So you're going to be helping out the kids by playing golf. Doesn't get better than that. This year's tournament takes place Fat Tuesday, March 4th at 10:30 a.m. Wildcat Golf Club, the setting. Always looking for fun to do on Fat Tuesday, like stuff your face, drink some Carbach beer, have a lot of fun. But you'll receive beverages from Carbach, as mentioned, lunch from Brown Bag Deli, dinner from Valencia's Tex-Mex Garage, and then 18 holes of golf. Register now at ESPN975.com under the promotions tab. How do we feel about Raz and Courtney a little bit, our marketing girl?
Let's do it. What do you got?
Do you think that the 18 holes of golf is needed in the read?
It's a technicality, but I understand what you're saying.
Like, how many scrambles do you play that don't get, like, rained out or banged? That
there's never a
nine. You don't play
18
holes.
There's very rarely a nine-hole scramble unless you're doing it after work.
Yeah. Like,
it's nitpicky, but it's you.
That's what I do.
It is.
That's what I do. Like, come out for the occasional invitational and play 18 holes with us. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's what we're doing. All right, 713-780-ESPN. I digress. Astros dynasty over. Texter, man, I hope Blue Ball makes the roster. Going to have fun with that name. Grow up, Texter. Grow up.
Our producer today. That's what I told him his new nickname is.
AJ? His name's AJ.
So I call him Blue Ball.
I call him Age.
That's why
Age is way better.
Age is way
better. Sure?
1,000% sure.
I thought you said you really liked Blue Bloods.
No, I never said that.
Okay, just checking.
8 ALCSs, 2 World Series championships, 4 World Series appearances, and missed 2 more World Series appearances by 1 win. It was 7, right? 7 ALCSs.
Yes,
correct.
Todd was right on. I was wrong.
The texture said 8. Okay. We're correcting the texture here. Yeah, I think that's like 7 ALCSs, 2 World Series championships, 4 World Series appearances. I think is a dynastic run.
Absolutely.
It's the best in this era, for sure. Dodgers would rival it. Cam Newton, Cam Ward, Cam Smith. That's it. I'm naming my kid Cam. Cam equals greatness. Hopefully your genes are not involved. Their
Cam
texture.
Akers? Is there any?
That's pro. Yeah. He's a pro. 2 chips. Cam Whitmore. 2 oh, yeah? chips. One where they needed
not
to cheat
yet.
Is definitely not a dynasty. Mm. Oh, there you go. That's a 409 area code, too. That's like in the Houston area. That's a local hating on the Astros. Must be a Ranger fan. 2 chips, 1 where they needed to cheat is definitely not a dynasty. Okay, well, 7 ALCS appearances, 4 World Series appearances, 2 titles, and everybody was cheating, Texter. Don't be obtuse. So if one of our championships is tainted, and you know, like players like Chris Sale said, you're fooling yourself if you think the Astros are the only team to steal signs. Whoever else would have won that year championship be tainted? I mean, the Red Sox championship in 18 is tainted if the Astros championship mm-hmm. in 17 is tainted.
Yeah, I think it's just the travesty is that everything else gets swept under the rug. It's like the Astros are the poster children, and everything else, even if it happened and there was proof of it and that they were called out to some degree on it, it's not of the magnitude of the Astros, no matter what. And then it's it was like a Neanderthal. They had to use a garbage can and pound on it as opposed to the technical side of things with an Apple Watch. Okay.
The banging on the trash can is kind of funny.
Whatever got it done, right? I mean, we found out that there was a million means to the end of different teams doing it different ways.
Yeah, I mean, it's pass-fail. Like, give them the pitch or don't give them the pitch by any means necessary. 409 Josh, even if the Astros win 2 of the next 3 championships, I think it would be the sequel dynasty of the franchise dynasty. I think too many players have changed for it to be one dynasty. See, I disagree with that a whole lot. And the team that I would point to is the Patriots. Like, the Patriots went, 10 years without winning a title in the Brady Belichick era? Yeah.
In between, right?
Pretty sure.
Yeah.
Like, it was such, there was a very
big, yeah, there was a very big gap between their first, like, 3.
And we consider that one giant dynasty, don't we?
Yeah.
We don't consider that 2 separate
no,
dynasties.
No, same quarterback, same coach.
They won one in 04, and then they didn't win another one until 14.
That would be 10.
My math is right.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4,
well,
5,
mine
6,
wasn't
7,
for the
8, 9.
ALCS.
9 years between. 9 years between.
There you go.
That's almost 10
take
years.
Yonder.
That's one big dynasty. Like, I don't break up the Patriots dynasties. I wouldn't break up the Astros
That's
dynasties.
Why I wouldn't. That's why I said it's still alive. I think that this cron.com person, this producer, I would question. I call BS.
Audience producer. Now, what would have to happen for it to be 2 separate dynasties? Like, I think that you have to have a period of time of multiple years where you don't make the playoffs.
Yeah, I was going to say you have to have some level of suck, and then the interesting thing is if Altuve's still around, right? Because if you have a couple of down years, but Altuve's still there, that's the connection that keeps it all going, whether McCullers is there or not, to where people can say you still had at least one player that was there for all of it, so therefore does that not mean that it was still that same run?
Yeah, I think I think it would have to be multi-years of missing the playoffs.
Because the Spurs went every other year for a couple years, and I want to say when they didn't win it, they had down years.
Texter just asked about the Spurs, too. Would you consider the Spurs in the 2000s?
Oh, there's no doubt. There's no doubt. They got caught in the one where it was a short season because of the lockout and the strike. But other than that, I mean, when you win multiples in that short a window of time, I think you have to.
They didn't miss the playoffs.
They didn't?
No.
I thought they had a down year, but. Yeah, yeah.
Whenever they remember, they tanked and got Duncan.
Yep,
they had those years, but then
they
once
won the lottery.
Once
too.
They got Duncan, they won in Duncan's second year. They won again a few years later. They won again, like they alternated. They won 3 titles in a 5-year stretch. Then they lost the finals in 13. They won the finals in 14, but they made the playoffs for every year from 97-98 all the way through 18-19. So they didn't like they might have had a down year for their standards mm-hmm. and like lost. Like they had a couple of years where they lost in the first round. A few years where they
that's
lost.
That's what
the first
I mean, I thought that they had down here. I wasn't sure if they even made the playoffs, but I knew it wasn't even close. Like, you know, you would think when you make a run in that window of time that every year they're at least competing for a conference championship.
Not only is that era of Spurs basketball a dynasty, it's probably one of the top 5 dynasties in NBA history.
I mean, you start and end with the Celtics run of all the 16 championships or whatever it was. But other than that, it's right up there in terms of the most impressive runs by any franchise in the league.
No doubt. Like, I that can't even be questioned. Texter, it's still one dynasty for the Bulls, even though Jordan left 1 year. Yeah,
two
for
years.
Sure.
Well, one and a half.
Yeah. I mean, maybe Altuve is the reason that it would never be two separate dynasties, mm-hmm. like the Altuve era for the Astros. That's probably, I think I like that. I like that argument. What if what Jeff Luhnow created is over, but the Astros probably still win their own division, World Series, and H-Town is a done deal. See, if you're capable of making the playoffs in baseball, you're capable of winning it all. Baseball is such a crapshoot. Baseball postseason is so much a crapshoot.
We've talked about it before, and if on top of all of that, that you just said, if they continue to win the division, then that's a standard of excellence that a lot of teams don't even get to, and if they do get to, they can't maintain that over and over again like the Astros have done. It's one thing if you sneak in or you get a wild card and you're just not a very good team and everybody knows it. If you win the division and you continue to win the division and then, like you said, have a chance to go deeper and possibly go on a run, then that's a sustained level of excellence that a lot of teams would love to have that aren't even close to doing it for an extended period of time. So you have to give them their flowers on that.
Yeah, I agree. Like we diminish playoff appearances and division titles like it's a 72-90 year. Like they still matter. Like it's not ultimately the big goal, but it's still a feather in the cap. 4488 is winning the division this year. Considered that the dynasty is still going. Like Blinker said, it adds to the accolade. Hey, Walker and Paredes look good too. Working full counts. Yeah, that's part of what the Astros were doing. I think that they wanted guys who could work the count, and I also think they like the pull power of Walker and Paredes into the short porch and left. He said, "Don't sleep on Guillermo. He looked great. Thumbs up."
Plays
emoji.
Short today. Yeah.
He plays all over the infield.
Yes.
A hot take.
Is he better than Rodgers?
My hot take. My hot take is I think Guillermo has a better chance to make this team than Brendan Rodgers.
I think if you think about how they acquired both of them, they went and got Guillermo, and Rodgers basically had his agent pick up the phone and see if he could get an invite to camp.
Yeah.
I would think that they already were thinking pretty positively about Guillermo.
Now, Guillermo's just a minor league deal, too.
Right.
So, like, same type of contract, but you're right. The Astros went to Guillermo first, mm-hmm. and then, you know, Rodgers might have courted the Astros.
Well, Scotty B picked up the phone.
Yeah, you always do business with Scott Boras. That's definitely the case. What about Kobe's Lakers? Is that a dynasty? I would say so, right?
Yeah. I mean, look, for everything and all that conversation that's just dreadful to even broach the subject of, AJ and I were talking about at the end of the show yesterday, the fact that people sleep on Kobe has five chips. That's more than LeBron. So Kobe's run of championships was no doubt, and he did it with, like we talk about James and all of his different partners in crime. The fact that he had Shaq, but he had Pau Gasol, and he won it with different guys in different eras, I think it's definitely a Kobe run and a Lakers run.
You putting Kobe ahead of LeBron?
He's in the conversation. Just an overall greatest players of all time. I know statistically it's going to be an argument that a lot of people have, but when you say that, again, when we talk about criteria, he has five championships. He has all, you know, you can put up the all defenses. Now, the longevity helps immensely with LeBron, too, but I'm not, that's why I hate the discussion so much that we sleep on Kareem. We sleep on Kobe when you look at and just say, make this a two-person conversation.
You didn't answer the question, politician blank.
I think by overall body of work, I think it is worth an argument, but I understand that Kobe is close enough with championships. I mean, LeBron's close enough with championships, but has all the other accolades to say that he is above Kobe.
AJ, did you answer the question?
I just did.
I don't know that you did.
I just said LeBron's above Kobe.
Oh, my bad. I missed the end. I just wanted to get my shot in there. Yeah, I have to put LeBron ahead of Kobe, too.
It's hard, though, because, you know, and Tim Hardaway just talked about it on a podcast this week with Gilbert Arenas and those guys. When you watch Kobe play, that killer instinct, that ability to just do anything at any time to rip your heart out, I don't know that LeBron's ever had that kind of killer instinct and to that level and the way he was constantly like reinventing himself. But at the same time, you can't take away the longevity, the numbers, and everything LeBron's done.
No. I love Kobe. Love Kobe. But I think LeBron's going to go down.
He played.
Oh, it's the same. It's
because
like,
he ripped the hearts out of every team I worked with.
Sports hate, for sure. Like, yes. I hated Jordan. I hated Jeter. But when they retired, I appreciated both of those dudes. Same thing with Kobe. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP, listener line. Speaking of hoops, who can change the Rockets' fortune? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.